This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Monday, September 26th, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Mike, the Fantasy Hitman, right?
Hello.
Great friend of the show, Jason Moore.
Jason had a tough weekend.
I'm Andy Holloway.
You know, it is.
We're getting it out of the way right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean,
this is what we, when I am not looking forward to the show, you got to hit it head on. You get it out of the way.
The herd of elephants in the room.
Because you feel better. You feel better. And through Jason's pain,
I'm surprised you're here.
Many of our listeners, like, because not everybody gets to win every week, they will vent. Mm-hmm. They will be redeemed through your rage.
I am here.
Unleash the fury,
for you, Foot Clan. If you had a bad week against an arch rival,
an inferior lineup.
Here's what's so funny.
How dare you?
Yeah.
On paper,
should have been the better team. But Justin Jefferson, obviously, he sucks. And I didn't realize that. I thought he...
Oh, you got... Yeah, you
I
fell
thought
for it.
He was good.
You fell for that last year stuff.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Andy did beat me. And, you know, it's funny. Like, I'm super tilted, super upset. Football's the worst. We can all agree with this if we lost.
Thank you for listening.
But this show's like... I actually had a great weekend. Like, phenomenal. I won almost everywhere.
Okay.
I won our Dynasty League, our Dino Junior, Megala Bowl, our League of Shadows.
Get shamed? I got shamed?
I didn't get shamed. None of that matters. Not one of those victories gives me an ounce of solace. The only thing that matters is the League of Record, where my dominant, awesome team crapped its pants against my division rival, Andy, who had all of his rookie wide receivers go off.
Yeah.
And
one of them left the field, but decided I need to come back and get more points for Andy.
So that's how my weekend went.
That's a great summation. And ordinarily when you face a, you know, kind of an arch rival, a good friend in a fantasy league, there's some back and forth. There's some like, I got you, I'm dunking on you, you dunk on me, oh yeah, let's go. Jason took care of all of it all by himself.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't need me to be involved in the back and forth. There was an active back and forth taking place in the studio all Sunday between Jason and Jason.
And Jason.
It was
not fun. Yeah.
It was a tilt apocalypse.
Very Eddie Brock Venom situation where you're just talking to yourself. Think you're pretending you're talking to us, but we are not. We're not responding and you're filling in the blanks.
Yeah. That's
no,
right.
So, that's how it goes sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
It's a long season. You got a really good team. You just got outsmarted by yours truly.
Yeah. Well, at least my bench did good.
Right. Well, we're getting into studs and duds on today's show, so we will talk through some of these performances from players that what the fantasy world is going through when – a player that has had a good season thus far has one bad week and the tweets are what's going on with this guy. As though it is a pattern and not simply one week. The expectations are so high. Studs and duds, like I said, news to talk about. We do want to get sophisticated, though. Monday, punday.
We must.
Reactions from the weekend, from the Foot Clan. You guys ready?
Yes.
I think I'll kick it off.
Yes, you deserve this one.
With Chris Olave.
Yeah. Yeah, I played against Chris Osuave.
But did you play against the star Jackson?
Ooh, or Daryl Horrendison.
That's
pretty good.
Jollywood Brown.
You did play against him.
I did.
This one might take you a moment, but Tyler Gronklin.
I like that one. That's sophisticated.
It's very.
Oh, boy. Then we've got very simple here. Aesop.
His fables. Tyweek Hill.
Tyweek Hill.
Sophisticated reference, Jason.
Yes.
Justin Hurtbert.
That one's pretty good. Tyreek Nill as well.
Oh.
And, of course, Mark Outstandrews.
And finally, Cortland Strutton.
It's pretty good. Yeah. I still can't figure Cortland Sutton out yet because I don't know if it's...
Just embrace it.
I don't know if it's being force-fed everything because everyone else is so horrendous on that offense.
Doesn't matter.
But he's...
Or is he good?
Both
of these things can be true, and both of these things don't matter.
Was that 11-10?
Yes.
Was that the final score?
11-10. For the... Keep in mind how great, how incredible, in fact, historically maybe the best ever this AFC West division is. the Chiefs who...
Oh, my goodness.
Who just...
Did they all lose?
No.
Well, they all lost except for the...
Oh, the Broncos won.
The
yeah,
Broncos,
they
who were terrible, won with 11 points. Wow, it was a bad week for that division.
Also, Trey Lance, maybe he was not the problem. Garoppolo.
I think he was neither problem nor solution.
I'm saying, Jimmy Garoppolo was... Terrible, including the Orlovsky?
Yes.
How's that?
Yes, walking out the back of the end
zone. The old back out of the end zone, which actually stopped a pick six. Because
So very smart.
Yeah. I mean, pro move. You ended up giving up 2 points and losing by one.
Well, the prolific Broncos offense averaging a cool 14 points a game, still 2-1. The proclamations of their defensive ability were accurate. They just haven't figured out the offense yet, and it's been...
I cannot figure it out either.
It's been bad.
Yes.
It's been bad, bad. All right, into the news we go.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by USAA Insurance.
Before kickoff, the Packers put Sammy Watkins on the IR. Christian Watson also didn't play in that game. Julio Jones... Todd Bowles says he expects him back next week. And the Jets have said Zach Wilson's coming back next week. And
all right.
They were bad yesterday. Really bad.
The team.
Yes.
But we don't care about the team.
No, I understand. I'm just trying to look at that situation and trying to figure out what kind of real gap there's going to be in production.
Sure.
It will all come down to whether Zach Wilson can obviously take a step forward. It was really bad on offense yesterday. If you drafted Elijah Moore, you're not happy. If you drafted Michael Carter, Breece Hall so far, you're not really happy. You know, Garrett Wilson's been the lone bright spot, but, oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Apologies to Tyler Conklin.
Yes. Yeah. Gronklin.
Who I know people will be picking up, but then that whole world could change with Zach Wilson. That will be a discussion. We'll be watching closely to see what happens with the weapons there. But Dalvin Cook exited with a shoulder dislocation. This is what Dalvin does.
Yeah, it's his thing.
He's dealt with shoulder dislocation since high school.
Yeah, and
so he's going to play.
It's really weird because for other the
device. Oh no, is that the device?
I'm back.
Yeah, if you are not aware...
Clearly, you can't put it on mid-game, right? That's the thing we've learned.
Well, once the shoulder pops out, I think it's too painful. You can't device... Yeah.
There was a.
There's a lot of Phillips things that are happening.
Is that a Phillips screwdriver?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not things. Got it. You know,
it's Phillips things.
Yeah. Some flathead things.
So
couple nails.
If you weren't with us last year or are not aware, obviously Dalvin Cook has had this problem many times. But last year there was a worry. Oh, he wasn't going to be able to play. And then they talked about, well, they've got a device that he can wear. the device that he wears,
trademark,
to be able to play with this injury. And then everyone was afraid to play him, and he had pretty much the greatest game of all time wearing the device.
Because he didn't have to worry about his shoulder getting hurt.
He's like, I can run freely.
It's like when the guys break their hands or their forearm and they wear the club.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to help you. The club arm has to help.
And then they're just beating the crap out of guys with it.
I mean, it's so funny.
It's
because,
immunity.
So to kind of skip news here to DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift missed a lot of yesterday's game too, and originally it was like, oh no, so maybe the ankle wasn't getting better. No, it turns out he hurt his shoulder in that game, and they're saying he could miss some time. Dude, get the device. How come Dalvin can do it? Just strap the device on.
There's
Swift.
Only one. There's one device.
Yeah, that's right. It's very expensive.
Tony Stark made it, and there's one of them. This is ridiculous. But no, I mean, that is bad news. The DeAndre Swift, I mean, if you're a running back and you were expected to do something big and your name starts with the letter D, you got injured. Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Swift, sprained shoulder, could miss time. Jamal Williams obviously took over and was great. David Montgomery exited with an ankle and knee injury. And this one really, really hurt because it happened early.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a matchup that we love for David Montgomery. And then Khalil Herbert took the ball and ran with it.
Oh, man, did he. He dominated. We had David Montgomery, both of us, Andy and I, in our DraftKings lineup, and it stinks to have been so right and so wrong at the same time.
Yeah, the initial report is day-to-day, but this is, you know, at least from Matthew Betts, he said the mechanism looked like a high ankle sprain, maybe an MCL sprain. We have no new information, so we are waiting. Joe Mixon didn't play in the fourth quarter due to a minor ankle injury. Zach Taylor said the ankle was sore after the game, so he, you know, disappointing week, missed a quarter of this football game. And the Saints wide receiver room, Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry both exited early. Both have been initially reported not serious, but more tests today. Michael Thomas, the toe, Landry, the ankle. Olave, the rest of the targets.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing because Jameis is still Jameis. I mean,
sure.
You finally look at this situation and you're like, how can they score so little and yet players like Olave and Michael Thomas have been valuable? And it comes down to Jameis being Jameis. He is the number one in average depth of target.
Just go, yeah. I mean, he goes down the field.
Because he chucks it.
Yeah.
And so.
And we like that about you, Jameis. You know, continue. Let's go down the field, buddy. How are his interceptions doing? I'm going to verify that.
I don't think he's on 28 interception pace, but Chris Olave, huge game for Chris Olave.
I mean, it's not great.
Yeah.
I forgot there was three last week, two this week.
Yeah, so this is classic Jameis. Now, rest of season after week three, do you want Olave or the other wide receivers?
He's currently, in the last two games, pacing for 42.5.
Okay.
Just like,
thank
wow.
you for the
very.
Thank
nice.
You for the math.
No, Olave is the wide receiver to have. He is the young ascending talent who is only going to get better as the year goes on into his rookie season, and he's already shown that he might be the best today. So, yeah, Olave over those two other guys.
Mac Jones exited early with a left high ankle sprain.
Mm.
This one's looking serious. The x-rays were negative, but he was in immense pain. He's going to probably miss some time.
Yeah, MRI today, and they play the Packers defense in week four.
Oh, Damian and Ramondre.
I mean, yep, Devontae Parker won't repeat. No. A.J. Green exited early with a knee injury, did not come back into the game for the Cardinals. If you've followed any of our Twitters over the last 24 hours, it's been very negative about the Cardinals. Cliff, Keim, Kyler, all of them. It is worth saying that Kyler did expect to have, you know, more weapons at his disposal to begin the year, right? You have literally now.
Did he forget that he has two registered weapons, like, underneath his hips?
Oh, his legs.
Yeah. Kyler, run the freaking ball, man. You're like the fastest guy on the field. What are you doing?
No Hopkins, no Rondale Moore, no A.J. Green, no Antoine Wesley. It is Hollywood and the Dortch. And that's where we're at with Arizona's offense. And they can't run the football. Let me just throw that out there.
True.
Your passing game, if you cannot run the football at all, it's pretty awful. So I don't understand why he's not running himself. Yeah. But
2 carries for 8 yards last game, where that's his special ability. And for fantasy purposes, you know, we love the mobile quarterbacks because they give you a guaranteed baseline. The Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, if their passing game isn't on, it's fine because, you know, that just means they're going to rush for 50, 60 yards. That's what should be happening with Kyler. You know, he's had over 20 rushing yards the first 2 weeks, so hopefully they go back and look at the tape and say, maybe we should have used that weapon.
Yeah, they did run some options where he pitched every time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you don't pitch, you maybe have rushing yards. I don't know what's going on in Arizona other than they suck. All right, Kadarius Toney, doubtful for tonight. Dalton Schultz, questionable. He will test the knee pregame. Hopefully you made other plans because Dalton Schultz could be limited or out. Michael Gallup expected to be inactive tonight against the Giants. Not returning yet. They're going to wait another week.
Okay.
That's a lot of news.
Yep.
That was today's news and notes brought to you by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance.
This week's Fantasy Stud Muffins.
Well, through 3 weeks, Lamar Jackson is...
Good heavens.
...back in MVP Lamarvelous form. 18 for 29. What was his passing touchdown total?
4.
Okay. That's an impressive stat line. 218
Don't forget
for
the
four,
rushing touchdown.
With a rushing touchdown and 107 on the ground.
Oh, brother.
And he managed to do literally all of this without using one of Jason's fantasy starters, Rashad Bateman.
Oh, yeah. He was on my team.
He caught a couple.
Let's point out in the studs and duds.
Who I played
your
against
roster
and who I played.
And what worked out.
Let's do that.
Your quarterback, Jalen Hurts, 22 for 35, 340 and 3. He
played
is
great.
The first player with at least 900 passing, 100 rushing yards through 3 games.
Yeah, Ian Harditz just tweeted, only one quarterback has 0 turnover-worthy plays this season.
That's amazing.
It is Jalen Hurts.
It seems as though he is he's processing things quickly. The offensive line is performing for him. He has multiple elite weapons on the outside with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. Goddard is a mismatch in the middle of the field. And then when everything goes wrong, like, these are the hardest quarterbacks to get off the field on third down, because you get to a third and four, third and five. It's almost...
How do you stop it?
It's just very difficult. If he's rolling out and using his legs and doing the things Kyler can't do, apparently, it's been so impressive. Now, Hurts, I don't think he scored in the second half in the past 2 games.
No, so I believe both weeks they scored 24, they being the Eagles, 24 first half points, dominating their opponent, and came out in the second half and scored 0 both weeks.
So that, I think one thing you can point to there is how dominant the Eagles' defense has been. And so that does put Hurts into a position of protecting a lead in the second half, which maybe that means they're not going to keep the foot down on the pedal, but you got to protect what you got, which was the lead. And so Hurts has been doing that and taking care of business. I believe the Eagles and Dolphins, the only 2 undefeated teams.
And the Giants.
Okay. I mean, you were right. And it could still be right after tonight.
It could.
And that'll be like everybody's not in on the joke. Like the Giants... We'll be strutting with the other 2.
Hey, do work, New York.
Yeah, go get it.
Josh Allen plays football. Very good player. Highly recommend.
In fact, he's excellent. Did he throw the ball 63 times?
He threw it 63 times. Sometimes to my starting running back, Devin Singletary.
Oh, yeah. What a great week he had against
me. Yeah, about 20 fantasy points.
We're not there yet.
He brought it up.
It was my fault.
Josh Allen, excellent. The thing to watch for Josh Allen will be the finger. He hit it on someone's face mask on that final drive. He proclaims he's good. Coach McDermott says he's good. Final pass of the game said, it was not good because he dumped that thing into the ground with a chance to, I don't know if it was tie or take the lead. I can't recall the numbers, but his hand wasn't good on that drive. We'll see how he's doing throughout the week.
Well said. All right, Trevor Lawrence looked outstanding.
He did. I mean,
this offense with Doug Peterson looks like it is aware of what it needs to do to succeed. It's converting third downs. It's using Travis Etienne in space where he succeeds and then handing the ball to James Robinson and letting him go for his weekly jaunt into the end zone.
And
Lawrence is protecting the football.
And they are protecting Trevor Lawrence very well, not just offensive line-wise, but scheme-wise. No sacks in that game for my fantasy defense. So that's cool.
Yeah, you played the Chargers.
Yeah, I did.
Who gave up 38 to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That is right. And they lost Bosa in that game. That was fun.
All right. We'll continue the tilt train. Joe Burrow, bounce back game against the Jets. Despite losing T. Higgins for a small period of time in that game. Tyler Boyd doing his occasional thing.
Yep, there's one. So, I mean.
There's normally, what, 2 to 3?
Yep, you got at least one left. We don't know when it will be, but he'll have another one just like that.
And then Derek Carr, Geno Smith, Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins with decent weeks. There you go. Running backs, Khalil Herbert.
Oh, 20, baby.
20 for 157 against Houston, 2 rushing touchdowns. And, you know, the story of Khalil Herbert last year was very good when Montgomery was out. Sort of like what we've seen with Madison at times in Minnesota, but you know, you like having a backup that you know can come in and number one, take all the work, mm-hmm. right? You're not a committee. And number two, be effective, at least while they do that. So if Montgomery was to miss, they have the Giants in Minnesota in the next 2 weeks, and Khalil Herbert will be a
must-start top 10 running back.
And a big, you know, the big decision will be tomorrow on the waiver show, how much fab do you spend on him? Based on the news we have on Montgomery, because if Montgomery ends up in the status quo right now of day-to-day, it's very difficult to say go out there and spend 70% of your fab on a guy you have a one-week rental on. It's not going to be in that category.
I think that you should go hard after it because whether they say day-to-day or not, I mean, first of all, if you're the David Montgomery manager, you need him desperately. He looks great. He's one of the rare situations where the backup is probably better for fantasy when he gets the opportunity than the starter was because the competition for touches is gone. Like Khalil Herbert ate into David Montgomery. Well, now with David Montgomery out, Khalil Herbert's going to be a massive win. And I think
an interesting point.
If you can get Khalil Herbert off of the waivers and you will still be able to capitalize on his value, even if you want to trade him to the David Montgomery manager when his time is done.
Yeah, we did have a galaxy brain in our league.
Oh, my god!
It was
goodness.
Not galaxy brain.
That foresaw this event and played Khalil Herbert anyways.
Yeah, sometimes.
To great success.
Sometimes there's a team that is just so bad that they are starting Herbert as a backup running back, and then you just fall backwards into 30 points or whatever it was. So congratulations, Gabe.
Fantasy football is special. Jamal Williams. 20 for 87 and 2. This was a product of DeAndre Swift barely playing and Jamal Williams getting a lot of opportunity. And this offense can move the football. They just have been able to. Still lost to the Vikings, who chose not to use Justin Jefferson. It was a disappointing ending to that game. Derrick Henry, the Yeti, 20 for 85 and a rushing touchdown. Should have had 2. They went Ryan Tannehill sneak on one of those.
We told you. The snow.
Yeah, thoughts on the snow model.
The snow in Vermont is undefeated.
Now, I have a question about the snow model.
Okay.
Is it just...
I have a lot of questions.
Yeah. I mean, well, but the big question is this a... It must keep snowing in Vermont.
Yeah,
or is it a Groundhog Day type of thing? Where once you see your shadow, you know, once the snowfall hits.
Exactly. Once the snowfall hits in Vermont, he's the Yeti for the rest of the year. Or do we need more snow?
We need to check in every week, Mike.
Okay.
Well, Matthew Betts is there on the ground in Vermont. Right.
Well, of course. We had to. I mean, this is
serious.
We probably should call him, FaceTime him and get a good look ourselves.
It was good to see
snow.
Snow, but also Derrick Henry have a lot of success and
targets.
Yeah.
5 for 58 through the air.
Honestly, that's the big difference.
Just get him the ball in space. I mean, his big catch, he was barely a catch because
he caught it a few times.
He's not good at catching the ball. And even when he juggled it and bobbled it and stopped and paused and then was like, okay, now I've got it, boom, 30-yard gain. It's like, yeah, maybe throw it to him more.
Because 20 for 85 and a score, if you got that from Derrick Henry, you're like, that's good. That's a good-ish game. It's not elite, but then when you add in 5 receptions and 58 extra yards, I mean, then Derrick Henry belongs number 3 on the studs list here.
This next player, from what I understand, he has a printout of Mike Wright's face in his locker.
That's fine.
And
that's fine. I've taken the L here.
Cordarrelle Patterson, 17 for 141 and 1. Also is through 3 weeks the RB4 on the season, Kyle.
Right now, that's where he is.
Go Falcons, right?
We got our win.
Yeah, they snuck out a dub on the road. Here's what's wild about Patterson.
There's a lot, but go on.
But to me, this is the wildest part of it. Because, L, I was wrong. I was out on Patterson. He's making me look foolish. One target. The entire argument for Cordarrelle Patterson is he is a wide receiver converted into a running back, so he's going to catch 3 to 4 passes minimum a week. He's not catching any passes. He's just dominating on the ground.
I'm pretty sure you said Cordarrelle Patterson, and that sounds like what he's doing as a running back.
He's just people have been impaled.
Oh, man. He's looking great.
Would you cash in, Jason? Last year was a great start for Cordarrelle, mm-hmm. older player.
Absolutely.
Probably get Damian Williams back at some point. You try to cash in on
that. I would 100% try to cash in. I have not been anti-Cordarrelle Patterson. I don't think he is going to be worthless the rest of the year, and now is your only chance. But he plays for the Falcons, who are not that great, and he just dominated against the Seahawks, who are worse. He's coming up against the Cleveland Browns, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the San Francisco 49ers in the next 3 games. So, yeah, I would try to cash in on Cordarrelle.
Speaking of cash-in opportunities, I'm going to give you another one that I think is in that category. Chase Edmonds.
Sure.
Chase Edmonds had 6 carries for 21 yards. 1 target, has not been in on the majority of snaps compared to Mostert, but scored twice. And so this could be an opportunity to include him in a trade, upgrade.
Make sure you screenshot only the total fantasy points.
That's right. There's some strategy to that.
I would also, and I know we've said this, I said this last week. He had another good week, but just because of touchdowns, I would, again, cash in on Clyde Edwards-Helaire as well. Another touchdown. The utilization is not what you want.
I think McKinnon had more rushing attempts? We can vet that really quick, but McKinnon looked like he was the primary guy in this game. Now maybe because of the game script where the Kansas City Chiefs lost to the Colts because the NFL is drunk.
Always drunk.
Good for you, Indianapolis. That's a huge win, but perhaps that's the reason why McKinnon was on the field more.
Other studs this week at running back, Devin Singletary, 11 targets, 9 for 78 and a touchdown. I don't know if this was a product of Miami's pass rush and just being available in the middle of the field. He doesn't normally get that kind of passing game work, but it seemed like the Zach Moss experiment was slightly minimized. I don't know if the snap counts were up on Singletary. Do you have that number in front of you, Kyle? Can you look at that?
I can look it up.
Take a look to see, because it seemed like Singletary was out there more because he was playing against Jason.
Yeah, that is the reason. And so if he's not playing for your team against me,
we'll play again later this year.
We'll let the Foot Clan know when to start Devin Singletary.
It's also the rational thing for this team to do.
Devin Singletary is really good.
He's a good player.
He just doesn't usually get the volume and the workload. Whenever he's received it, he's been great. I mean, he won people fantasy championships at the end of last season when they were giving him the usage. And he had 20 opportunities this week alone. So, yeah, going forward, you got to keep an eye on him.
73% of snaps. Moss at 17%. Cook at 12%. That's a huge difference in his involvement. James Robinson can't be stopped. 17 for 101. Play him.
Did he get stronger?
He did get stronger.
Can we get, like, the other Achilles? Just get, you know, what if he busted that one?
Double-double.
He'd probably just be unstoppable.
Doug Peterson is helping this team.
Yes.
Ramondre Stevenson, 12 for 73 in a rushing touchdown, 5 targets. Looked pretty good. Some of that promise people were hoping for. is going to get rough without Mac Jones. So, you know, maybe he can benefit from a, you know, if they're losing to Green Bay, Ramondre could be out there catching passes next week. And Damian Pierce, 20 for 80 and a touchdown, looked pretty good. Last 2 weeks combined, Pierce has 35 carries and three targets. Burkhead has three carries.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, Kyle. Is that an original?
I've heard it places.
The Achilles steel. That's what they're calling James Robinson.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I get it.
Steel of the draft, the RB2 on the year.
Okay.
It took you a second.
It did. Because I wasn't thinking about, like, draft day value.
Okay. But now you are.
Yeah.
All right. Quick break, and then we're into the wide receiver studs. Hey, Foot Clan. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
The Achilles was actually... you know, they lost this week. James Robinson looked good. Cardinals made Cam Akers look good.
Yep.
We talked about Daryl Henderson. I mean, it's because Cam Akers was on the field a ton.
Just needed some confidence. And he got it from Bird
Game
City.
Got another Achilles.
Bird City Football.
Bird City Football, whatever it is. It's stupid.
Turd City Football. We'll see Sterling Shepard out there tonight.
Yeah.
Against his Achilles. So, all right, Jason. Devontae Smith, 12 targets, 8 for 169, multiple highlight reel catches from the should I drop him Devontae Smith managers week one. Hopefully you didn't, but I know there was no player on people's bench more than Devontae Smith this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one that because he went off in such glorious fashion, it will feel the worst. Now that you see that the Eagles – you know, at the end of last year, it was like, well, they were such a run-heavy team. Are they going to pass the ball? Are they going to open it up enough? Yes. They have tried to do that. It has worked to great success.
Yes.
Hurts will continue throwing the ball. You have to start Devonta Smith. That does not mean he's going to be great week in and week out. Wide receivers are inconsistent, but he is obviously very talented.
A.J. Brown was great, too. 5 for 85 and a touchdown. Matt Collins.
Yeah.
Matt Collins filling in for Hunter Renfrow and filling in for Devontae Adams.
Let's go, Mac.
There's nothing. If you have Devontae Adams as a fantasy manager, and then you on the other side of the field, Matt Collins goes for 8 for 158 and a touchdown, that is the kind of thing that you will feel like Jason this week.
Yeah, you feel like, why do you keep throwing it to Adam Thielen instead of...
We did.
Yeah, we both started Matt Collins against you in the... DraftKings.
Yeah, pivoting from him moments before the show was a bad decision. But Matt Collins, big week. Hollywood Brown. Hollywood. 17 targets, 14 receptions, 140 receiving yards. And despite not getting into the end zone the last 2 weeks, is the wide receiver 13 on the year.
Well, he did get into the end zone 2 weeks ago. They just didn't credit him with the touchdown. But this is what you were hoping, right? To start the season was the target volume that, you know, all it took was more and more injuries to the wide receiver corps.
And they took a deep shot to him in the third quarter of this game that barely missed. Yeah, they set up this play. It was like one of the two times that Kyler threw it more than 4 yards. And that would have, you know, been an explosive week.
I was going to say 140 total yards on 17 targets.
Yep.
Is doo doo.
No, like, I mean, everything's.
That is terrible.
I told you.
It's great for fantasy.
I told you in the game, Mike. It was he's running the Hopkins route Bush plan where you are close to the line of scrimmage. And it's just, I don't want to get started on the Cardinals because we don't have enough time. Like someday we'll just create a Trash the Cardinals podcast.
Mm hmm.
And again, I don't know if we'll have enough time or the hard drive space for that, but
we'll have to look into the cloud.
We'll have to look into that. Amari Cooper, we talked about him. Zay Jones.
Yeah.
Zay Jones is going to be talked about tomorrow because through 3 weeks, very involved in this Jacksonville offense, 11 targets, scored 10 for 85. He was on the cusp of really being a pickup this past week. It was great.
Yep. Yeah, and Christian Kirk continues to be great. I had my concerns for him for this week against the Chargers. I didn't realize that they were taking the week off for all aspects of football. And Christian Kirk ended up with 6 for 72 with a touchdown. He has not finished
lower than the wide receiver 20 on the week.
He is paying off massively for the Jaguars, that contract. I mean, if Christian Kirk is here, he's unlocking, I think, a lot of this offense.
Chris Olave.
Yeah, baby.
13 targets, 9 for 147, and looks outstanding out there. Always open down the field and has a quarterback willing to chuck it.
Those Ohio State wide receivers, they are so fast. I mean, it's just Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, whenever they're on the field, they look like they're just
a different speed.
A different speed than the defenders. It's similar to Waddle and Tyreek. Apparently, all you need to do is just go get the world's fastest people. And
not
then,
always, because that was the Raiders' strategy.
Darius Hayward Bay.
For a really long time. You also need them to be able to catch and run good routes.
But Olave looks like a must-start moving forward.
Yes.
Russell Gage had 13 targets. He was the de facto numero uno.
He won the lottery.
I would let other people compete for Russell Gage on the waiver wire.
Yep.
Other stars this week, Isaiah McKenzie looked really good to me. Very fast, 7 for 76 and a touchdown. Romeo Dobbs.
This is the big one. So these other mentions here, Boyd, Parker, McKenzie, I'm not chasing those points. But Romeo Dobbs, being necessary for the team, number one, the Lizard King on IR. The second-round pick, Christian Watson, not able to play. Randall Cobb was questionable with illness coming into the game. We didn't know if he was actually going to play. He did. So it was Alan Lazard and Romeo Dobbs are like the two guys left, and Romeo Dobbs took on essentially a wide receiver one role here. He got hot right at the beginning of the game, ends with 8 targets. Really, he caught eight? 8 for 73 with a touchdown. I hope people are tuning into Sunday Live. Because
this was a mic call on Sunday Live.
I'll toot the horn because I want people to watch the show. We're off to a hot start here. Week one, the stash of the week was Jeff Wilson. Week three, the stash of the week was Romeo Dobbs. So now moving forward, it's like this is the type of performance that you can really build on for a rookie in Green Bay and assert yourself over the next few weeks of Sammy Watkins is out for at least 3 more weeks. And if Aaron Rodgers builds that trust with Dobbs, this becomes very interesting. Are you guys, was it enough for you to see that you're putting Dobbs into a flex position next week?
It was Tampa. I mean, it was the Tampa defense.
Yeah, it depends on who else you have to put in. It's going to be the New England defense next week. He's certainly, though, got to be scooped up if he's out there. You know, he's probably their best wide receiver. I mean, I know you love Lazard.
I do.
He scored, but he was fine. I'm just saying, talent-wise, he looks fantastic, and they're going to need him going forward.
Mark Andrews paying off on the draft day. Price, 13 targets, 8 for 89. Travis Kelce was 4 for 58 and a touchdown. Those two players, you know, I had somebody on Twitter talk about the disappointment, right, with first-round running backs right now. It's been tough, right? You're not getting Jonathan Taylor, two down weeks. Joe Mixon, out. Dalvin Cook, it's been a struggle. You've got the injury. Derrick Henry looked good this week, but McCaffrey not lived up to the billing of superstardom. Alvin Kamara, been a disaster. Yeesh. And then people are sitting there, and they went in early on Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews, and they have a consistent every week advantage at that position. Right now, it's looking like a very wise decision.
Yeah, I was so far wrong on Travis Kelce. I was scared to take him in the first round. I loved Andrews in the second. If you knew that they would be great, then you should be taking those early round tight ends, which is why we liked Andrews in the second. If it was a guarantee that Kelsey's great all year, the value is there in the first.
Tyler Conklin is the tight end 3 in PPR right now. He's had 7-plus targets in 3 games, went 8 for 84. Conk?
I mean, the NBA Jam rules.
Yeah, they are.
They say, like, 7, 9, 8 targets. So they say you've got to be in, except the quarterback change. Yeah. The Flacco change, if it goes away from Flacco. I mean, I just don't think that they're going to let Zach Wilson throw the ball 60 times, you know?
They might. They have
right.
They probably have to.
They very well might, but we just don't know. So it's hard to be like, yeah, pick up and play Tyler Conklin.
It also doesn't mean those passes will be near the receivers.
Right.
Let's put a pin in the Conklin conversation and go into tight end waivers tomorrow, putting these guys in order. Njoku had a big week. Jason, you asked me about Goddard and Pitts and who I thought would finish the season better. Both had much better weeks. Kyle Pitts, 5 for 87, almost all of that, 4 for 82 in the first half. And then Dallas Goedert scored again. So, if our advice was just keep playing Kyle Pitts, because a lot of the chasing of these other options is just you don't have any guarantees in the tight end world, and at least Pitts has the ability to athletically win against anybody.
Yeah, and it was easy for him. I mean, they could have thrown it to him more. There was another target that was a pretty big bomb target that was – not close to him, but he was wide open. So, it was really nice proof of life to see that Kyle Pitts can have really good games going forward. I do find it hysterical, though, that Jelani Woods has more career touchdowns now than Kyle Pitts.
That hurts.
Yeah, it's wild. So, Pitts, though, looked pretty good. They ran the ball like crazy in the second half, too, trying to preserve
Patterson's
a chance to win,
ripping off 15 yards a carry.
All right.
Old man strength.
It's time to go over Jason's roster.
Pooped in his big boy pants.
All right. It's time for the duds. Russell Wilson. 20 for 33, 184 yards.
Uh-huh. How many touchdowns?
Zero. Oh.
Okay.
Six carries.
Okay.
For 17 yards.
Okay. Let's ride.
I want to play a game.
You guys want to play a game?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I'm so excited.
You
want to
play a game with Brooksy?
Yeah.
This is what's the name of this game, Brooks?
This is called Russell Wilson versus Geno Smith through the first 3 weeks.
Yes, I am here for this.
Okay, so
they both are
very close in attempts. Russell Wilson just has 4 more pass attempts.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So first question, who has more completions? Russell Wilson or Geno Smith?
Oh, I mean, Geno has been super accurate.
Yeah, it's got to be Geno.
Okay. Geno.
It's Geno.
Yeah, baby.
79 completions compared to Russell Wilson's 63.
Oh, what a loser, Russ.
Oh.
All right, guys, who has more passing yards, Russell Wilson or Geno Smith?
Oh, I love this game. I love this game because it's all going to be Geno.
Unlimited.
I mean, I know that's well, – generally speaking, that's how these games work.
Yeah, you want to set one up, right? There's got to be Russ,
I
right?
still think this might be Wilson.
You go, would you just say Jason?
I'm going Geno.
Okay, this one is Russ.
Oh, that's right.
What's the difference?
743 to 717.
Oh, well, big deal.
Yep.
Big deal.
All right, touchdowns, pass touchdowns.
Oh,
Russell Wilson or Geno Smith?
I mean, does Russ have a passing touchdown?
Russ has that one Judy broken play.
Oh, that's right.
Geno.
He has the Metcalf one.
Yeah.
He's got, it's Geno. It's Geno Smith.
Yeah, and he has the Will Disley. Did Disley score yesterday?
Oh, yeah, he did. Big Montana.
Wow. Producers, how is that not in the dock? Unbelievable.
At the tight end
I have to remember
position?
Everything here. There we go.
Yeah, Big Montana.
Hey.
Will Disley.
Big Montana.
They just needed to get him a good quarterback like Geno Smith.
Didn't he defeat the Achilles as well?
Was he Achilles or patella?
He might have been patella. He might have been all of them.
Good.
Can't keep a good Disley down.
It's impossible.
Final answer from the three of us, Geno Smith.
Yep, he's got four. Russ just has the two.
I mean, oh, he's got two. Okay.
Yep. And what matters the most to a fantasy manager is who's got more fantasy points.
Well, Geno Smith.
It's got to be
Geno. Oh, boy.
Yep, he's got a few more points.
Wow. That is brutal.
Here's my advice.
Who's got more wins?
Let's ride.
Yeah. Here's my advice. Yeah, I think, Disley was Achilles.
It was? Oh, yeah. I think he did both.
He did do both. He's wearing a device. He's got to be.
I need to eat more green and corn.
That's country strength.
I mean, that's Montana strong, right?
Uh-huh, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah!
Yes!
Will Disney! Woo-hoo-hoo!
My advice with Russ is to cut bait. This is not going to go from where it's at to where you want fast enough for you to be happy. Do you agree with me?
You put him on the waiver wire. You put a little bit of dust over him.
Oh, just some leaves and stuff?
Yeah, and you set that trap. Is that someone else in your league is going to see Russell Wilson on the waiver wire. If I saw...
Yeah.
Honestly, even knowing... like this is our job. Knowing exactly what has gone on. If I saw Russ on the waiver wire, part of me would go...
Ooh.
That's Russell Wilson. He's surrounded by elite weapons. He has to turn this around. But does he?
Well, did you see KJ Wright and Richard Sherman's podcast and their conversations about Russ?
I did not. Oh no.
I'm sure it was
spilling that tea?
They're spilling a little they just had the contention that he was very protected by Pete Carroll, that he didn't have the same level of accountability, and that he was just put in a better position to kind of succeed there and get more of the credit, and the defense didn't get a lot of it, and just some of that.
Maybe
they weren't dumping on him.
Yeah, maybe that might be
sounds
just some
a little,
sour grapes.
Yeah,
because the defense was truly elite. But
well, that's what you do when you want someone to listen to your podcast.
But Russ Wilson back in Seattle was a very good quarterback.
Matthew Stafford, not a good week.
Well, because Cooper Kupp ran it in.
Cooper Kupp ran it in, and he only had four catches for 44 yards. It also was not a good week because Matthew Stafford threw a perfect slant pass to Allen Robinson, who was going to walk into the end zone, and he dropped it.
Had no interest.
He had no interest in that touchdown, and that meant that Stafford had none. Kyler and Stafford in that game, Kyler had 58 pass attempts. Matthew Stafford had 25. They combined for over 560 yards and zero touchdowns.
Impressive.
58 attempts turned into 314 yards. 25 attempts turned into 249.
Arizona is averaging 4.9 yards per passing play ahead of only the Bears.
Feels that way.
Who have Equanimeous St. Brown instead of the Dorch.
Yeah.
To headline that.
Cool.
That group. Carson Wentz.
Oh, the revenge game. The Eagles got the revenge.
Yeah. What, 4,200 sacks in that game? Something like that?
Wait, was that? What was your almost upset? Was it that one?
We're not waiting.
Okay, it was. Okay, I didn't remember. I didn't remember until this moment. Oh, yeah. Well.
Hey, look.
No one's to, I mean, there's
2-1.
Yeah.
When you bet on Carson Wentz long enough, he will reveal himself to you.
Yes. Yes, he will take the mask off.
Yes. And underneath, it's Carson Wentz.
It takes it off. Oh, you were who we thought you were.
Yeah.
Yeah, what, 9 sacks? Wow.
What was the game I tried to hit it on?
The Miami game.
See, if I had gone with the gut on that one.
Miami-Buffalo.
That would have been great.
That would have been much smarter.
But yep. you didn't.
9 sacks for Carson Wentz.
That's the Eagles' defense is legit.
Yeah. Joe Mixon, Leonard Fournette, Alvin Kamara, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon.
Oh, man.
James Conner. Austin Eckler.
Just keep
Javonte
going.
Javonte Williams. It is a dud patrol going on here. I mean, this is... The Javonte one, is it drove me crazy. Because
that's what I want to ask about.
Let's talk about him. Go ahead.
Because if you didn't watch the game, I mean, 15 attempts, 3 targets, a game script could go that way for Javonte Williams. That's not
that's 18 different opportunities.
That's not horrific volume. But when you look at what happened in this game, Mike Boone became the third down running back for this team, which means that Javonte was splitting first and down work with Melvin Gordon.
First and down work, right?
First and second down work. I got ahead of myself there. First and second down with Melvin Gordon, and Melvin Gordon got the touchdown.
Yeah, it was I think it's the same song. That you just press the repeat button every week with the Javonte situation, which is everyone's going to get together in our little echo chamber, and we're all going to tell everyone, each other, how good Javonte looked, which he did once again. He looked great. He had one drive where it seemed like every time they handed him the ball, it was 15, 20 yards. And then they're going to play Melvin Gordon. And then you're going to flip a coin on who's around the goal line on that drive. And it looked like there was maybe a higher baseline for Javonte with the passing game work, getting all the targets, and it didn't happen in this game.
I think the primary issue here is Russell Wilson. It's the offense as a whole. If the offense is so anemic to as
11
to only
points.
Score 11 points, so if we're saying you drop Russ, you cut bait, he's not going to get it figured out, do you worry about the potential high-end value of Javonte? Because I find myself conflicted where I'm not confident that Russ and the Broncos are going to figure this offense out in any short order over the next month, while still feeling confident that Javonte will break something off or get his and get going. And I feel like
I have thoughts on that.
Those probably need to be more in sync, not opposed.
Yeah, my thought on that is, look, you're not going to get to where you want to go with Russ in a week or two. But we often give the advice that a rookie running back, Breece Hall, DeAndre Swift during his rookie year, it takes some time to get them into that position. If it's a month, if we're a month, 5-6 weeks away, and they do get the offense figured out, and it's a 28-point offense, then you have a lot of upside with Javonte Williams to finish the year in the same fashion. There were some signs snap count-wise. I don't know what they were in this game.
I have them.
Do that, you?
Because that's my biggest question here, and this is compliments of Nathan Janke?
I think it's Janke.
Janke? I apologize, Nathan. I don't know how to pronounce your last name, but PFF, he does fantastic work. And so here's what happened for the Denver the running backs. Mike Boone played 8 third downs. The short yardage went to Melvin Gordon. On the goal line, 1 went to Javonte, 2 went to Melvin Gordon. So, I mean, like, Javonte was getting half of the early down work, but short yardage, third downs, those went to somebody else. And that's a problem, especially if you're saying short yardage and goal line is not just owned by Javonte Williams. That part is split, too, because you can give away the third downs. There's plenty of running backs in the league that, like Nick Chubb and Derrick Henry, they're not third down guys. But if you have to split the short and the goal line, that's an issue. And if that keeps going moving forward, which we don't know that part yet, but if like next week the split looks like this, I think then you might have concerns of where Javonte Williams can actually cap out.
65% of snaps in week 2. Do we have a snap count on him in week 3 yet?
We're still waiting to get this back from last night.
Okay, so we have 58% week 1, 65% week 2. I mean, 12 targets in week 1. That was anomalous, apparently. You know, Mike Boone, I don't think, was available in that game, or they didn't make him available. something to watch. James Conner has been pretty darn bad. He was a game-time decision in this game. Cardinals cannot run the football. Conner was, what, 18 touchdowns last year?
That's the entire argument for James Conner was the Arizona Cardinals have a high-powered offense, and when they get to the goal line, they go to James Conner, which they've done. Mm-hmm. Like that formula.
The second half of that statement is still true.
Yes.
The first half of the high-powered offense is what's missing. If this offense figures it out, he'll get the touchdowns.
And like, they will be much better with the return of Hopkins and Rondale Moore. They say Rondale Moore is a week or two away.
Yeah, that was my question is so we're through 3 weeks, so that means we have still a month until Hopkins is back on the field. Is this a trade low or buy low, essentially, to get James Conner on your team in the hopes that once Hopkins is back, the Cardinals get on track? Maybe they're not what they were last year, but they get back in their, you know, in the top at least half of scoring offenses.
Yeah, I mean, you can kick the tires. A lot of people need running backs, and if you can buy really low, sure, but I think you're going to have at least another month of the Cardinals not having a very good offense. And if the Broncos don't have a good offense, at least you have explosiveness in Javonte. You don't have that in James Conner.
Right.
Darrell Henderson experiment. 4 carries, 1 target. Cam Akers' usage has gone up. The snap count has gone up.
5 opportunities for Darrell Henderson, 12 for Cam Akers. I mean, it's the script has flipped, and that means that I don't want either.
Okay, Miles Sanders did not give you a good week.
No, he did not get the
attempts. They kept throwing the football.
Yeah.
He got 15 carries. It was surprising that he didn't find more success. I think the...
Are you panicking about Alvin Kamara?
Yeah.
A little bit. I mean, I think you're hoping that the packages in practice were more skewed towards Mark Ingram to provide more rest for Alvin Kamara coming off of the rib cartilage injury. So there's still hope that as he gets healthier that he'll get more work. But, I mean, Kamara's third down work, where he's been so good, was really going to Mark Ingram.
10-4 on third down snaps. Ingram scored a short touchdown as well. Let's talk about...
Yeah, okay. Is it time?
Yeah, let's do it. Jason, the floor is yours.
Austin Eckler. Well, you had 4 carries in this game total. You had 2 carries each half. That is...
Yeah, but how many yards did he get on those 4 carries?
I got 5 of them. 5...
There's no...
5... Yeah, 4 carries, 5 yards, first round... Superstar.
What is going on?
Well, 45 pass attempts for Herbert, 48 the week before.
Yeah, they're not running the ball, but when they run the ball, it's not always Austin Eckler. They are using Sony Michel. They've used him on the goal line. They've used him for short yardage situations. He had 5 carries, I believe.
23% of snaps for Michelle, 21% for Josh Kelly. That puts Austin at 55%.
Oh. Well,
is there a sad 55?
Yeah. 55! That was it. That was the sad 55. So, look, Austin Eckler, 8 targets, 8 receptions.
That's great.
He's still, you know, he's still using the passing game. He's going to be valuable. He does not have a touchdown yet on the season. That is not going to be.
Yeah, that was like at the end, too.
The touchdown. You know, the touchdowns will come, I mean, to some degree. Obviously not to last year's 20 red zone touchdowns degree. But how worried?
Very.
Yeah, me
He's
too.
Running through 3 games. He is averaging 2.5 yards per carry. Not the greatest stat. When you're at 2.5, that is a stat that is fair to use.
Should I bring up the fact that they probably lost Ronnie Stanley yesterday?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And they already were without Corey Linsley, right?
Yeah, I don't know how do we know how long Linsley's injury is? Expected?
You meant Rashawn Slater, Andy.
I did.
Oh,
not
yes.
Ronnie Stanley was also out, but for Baltimore.
Correct.
Yes. Thank you, Kyle. But no, the offensive line situation and then this, it's not good. And the amazing thing about you beginning that sentence and talking about Austin Eckler, Jason, is that I thought you were trying to begin the wide receivers. Which you can also do.
Yeah, my Austin Eckler was not awesome. Excellent. My Justin Jefferson. So I looked this up this morning. It's a pretty cool stat.
Yeah, let's hear some cool stats.
In half-point scoring, Justin Jefferson had his worst game ever, and that includes the first 2 weeks of his rookie season when, if you don't remember, he wasn't really playing much football. He was barely on the field, but he did manage in those two games to outscore what he did yesterday in a game script where you had to throw the ball the whole time because I was playing against Andy, and that's why he didn't do anything.
The more you know.
Okay.
So Andy and I will play again later this season. I will alert everyone, let them know when to bench Justin Jefferson. And that is a joke because you will never bench Justin Jefferson. He will be fine. There was a three-pack of talented wide receivers who pooped the bed this week, and you're going to start them every single week.
I might not have made Kirk Cousins my start of the week had I known he was not going to use Justin Jefferson.
And yet Kirk Cousins was okay.
And they won.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, they won. Oh, my God.
They won.
That's my least favorite part.
The strategy worked, as did I.
My least favorite part, and I was so upset when they pulled out the victory, because they were losing all game. They really got outplayed in their, I don't know if that was their home opener, but they were home by the Detroit Lions, divisional rival. But then they snuck out the victory. I was so waiting for all of the accusations of why didn't you get Justin Jefferson more involved from the angry beat reporters at the loss. But then they won, and so it's like, what are you going to do? Good game plan. Adam Thielen.
We did get word that Justin Jefferson did a backflip in the end zone on the final snap.
There's real video, actually. You can see him. He does a flip, yeah.
He does a backflip on the kneel down.
Okay, so that eliminates any health concerns.
Yeah. But
if a man is doing a backflip on the field, I presume legs are functional.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Unfortunately, most leagues do not award any points for that.
Yeah. 14 total yards for Justin.
These are not going to be, the big names here. Jefferson, Chase, Tyreek Hill finally had a dud game. Those are players that are always in your lineup. It's just the way that it works. Buffalo is a good defense, and Tyreek just wasn't the guy this week. These other names, more worthy of discussion, 45 pass attempts for Justin Herbert. Only 6 of those pass attempts went to Mike Williams, 1 for 15 and a touchdown.
Oh, I had him. He was.
You
he
did
was
have him. Gabe Davis, 3 for 37. It seemed like he was playing at less than 100%. But
he was still the dude. I mean, he was out there for 87 snaps compared to Stephon Diggs, 64. So,
yeah,
he was at least...
He was the dude, but he was a dude this week.
Yes.
DJ Moore?
DJ Moore is so concerning. I mean, he has been putrid on the season. One touchdown to salvage a fantasy
No wonder you tried to move him.
Oh, I...
Because he's got one catch for 2 yards this past week with Baker pump fake Mayfield. Gosh.
And that was with him playing... I don't know if it was 100% of the snaps, but he was just about that. I mean, 100% of dropbacks. He is on the field. He is their wide receiver one, and their wide receiver one is worthless right now because Baker and this offense is unwatchable.
Can I correct what I said? It's not double. It's not pump fake Baker Mayfield. It's quattro clutch. It's like instead of a double clutch, it's a triple clutch. It's a quattro clutch. He looks so skittish and scared. It's a backpedal while he screams, fake throwing the ball.
If you could have the announcers play, how there used to be laugh tracks. There needs to be.
Oh, no.
When the snap happens, they need to play a sound just on repeat because that's how Baker plays football now.
They put the laugh, like, and then the ball goes like an errant throw, and then you go
Yeah, exactly.
Social media team. Make it happen.
The 80s sitcom Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
So, also, I mean, we're not in that area, but Baker, Christian McCaffrey, he's really good at catching the ball.
Try him
you
out.
Should, you
Give
should
him a go.
Just a few. Just a few.
Allen Robinson, 5 targets, 2 for 23, dropped the touchdown. Not integral. They didn't, Stafford threw 0 touchdowns in this game. They won with a total of 6 receptions between Kupp and Robinson, but you look at a couple situations, okay? Allen Robinson, it's not been pretty for 3 weeks. Got into the end zone last week, but the target totals, the reception totals have been bad. You look at another player that had a bad week this week, but was on the field for 27 of 29 dropbacks, Treylon Burks. If you're moving forward, if you had to flex one of those players,
wow,
would you flex Treylon Burks, who's had limited opportunities but looked okay, starting to get the snap counts up, or would you just give Allen Robinson a shot? Because the one thing they have done is if they're around the goal line, I mean, he's got 5, 6, 7 end zone targets. Which one would you do? I'm asking for a friend.
Who would I prefer on my team right now? It would be Burks because he's ascending, and Allen Robinson is stagnant, if not declining. I don't know that I would play Burks over Robinson just yet, but that change is going to happen very soon.
Yeah, that's well said. I think it's the exact situation that's exactly how I feel.
Brandon Cooks, 7 targets, 2 for 22.
Man.
Huge target share, terrible catch rate. None of the Davis Mills hopes and dreams have been coming to fruition.
Correct.
So, Rashad Bateman, 2 for 59. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. Just not on a week when Jason plays me.
Yeah.
KJ Hamler, Goost, Jerry Jeudy didn't look good to me. 2 for 17. I don't know if this was injury or just being Jerry Jeudy. Those things are hard to distinguish.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
John Dotson, just 2 catches this week, did not get in the end zone. And then Curtis Samuel, 7 for 48. I'm not worried about that. 10 targets.
Yeah, you got 13 opportunities for Curtis.
Eagles are good.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I was just saying. The Washington Commanders wide receivers, it's a down week, but the volume was there.
We are 3 weeks in, and Elijah Moore has not given you a good fantasy week.
10 targets.
So,
and he was very close to a deep touchdown that was it just didn't connect.
So keep him on the bench until he gives you a game?
Yes.
What else do we have? The wide receivers in Kansas City can be trusted.
Can't play him.
For nothing.
Can't play him.
And then Darren Waller, not a big week for him. George Kittle on the return, just 4 for 28. Zach Ertz, 10 targets, 6 for 45. I'd take that in a PPR league.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Yeah.
That is the end. We've reached the end.
We did it. I hope everyone feels better.
Anybody we didn't cover on your roster, Jason?
I feel better. No, thankfully they were all on the poops. So we got
them. Oh, you did start Evan Ingram.
I did start Evan Ingram over.
He almost scored.
Yeah,
he almost was very close.
It was called a touchdown on the field, but I didn't. I benched Hawkinson, who he did score a real touchdown.
So everyone pray for Jason. We'll be back with a waiver show tomorrow. See you later.
Enjoy the Monday night game, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.